What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. For decades, we've been told to stay away from saturated fats, that they cause heart disease, a leading killer of men and women. But a big new study says not so fast. We'll talk with one of the doctors who worked on that study and with food writer Mark Bittman, who says butter is back. This hour On Point, a new look at saturated fat. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. Have you spent years avoiding saturated fats? How are you taking on board these new headlines? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. We're going to hear from several cardiologists this hour and from food maven Mark Bittman. Joining me first from Boston is Dr. Dariush Mozafarian, a co-author of the new study in the journal Annals of Internal Medicine that's been driving headlines for days now. He's a cardiologist at Boston's Brigham and Women's Hospital, professor at Harvard Medical School, co-director of the program in cardiovascular epidemiology at the Harvard School of Public Health. Dr. Mozafarian, welcome to On Point. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Are you saying, did your study find that it is fine to eat saturated fat, period?
Well, of course, as you indicated in your introduction, the message in the science is more nuanced. That, what the study finds is that a focus on a single nutrient like saturated fat alone may not be the best approach to fight heart disease.
What did you find?
So this study looked at a range of evidence, looking at observational studies of what people report they eat, looking at trials, and looking at circulating levels in the blood. And we looked at a range of different fatty acids, saturated fats, monounsaturated fats, and polyunsaturated fats, including omega-3s and omega-6s. And we found that the evidence was fairly consistent for benefits of omega-3s. There was some evidence, not as consistent, but some evidence also for benefits of omega-6s, and that saturated and monounsaturated fats on average actually seem to be relatively neutral overall for heart disease.
So how does this diverge from conventional wisdom of the last several decades?
Well, I think to understand the conventional wisdom, you actually have to go back even earlier to 1932 when vitamin C was discovered as the active ingredient of foods that prevented scurvy. That led to an explosion of interest in nutrients, single nutrients, to prevent deficiency diseases. And all of our dietary guidelines through the 1950s actually were to prevent deficiency diseases. And for preventing a deficiency disease like scurvy or pellagra or night blindness or rickets, a single nutrient does cause or prevent a single disease. But that approach was sort of naturally extended to chronic diseases like heart disease, stroke, obesity, diabetes, cancers. And that kind of idea that a single nutrient was the key thing is, I think, why there was a singular focus on saturated fat. And I think what we've learned now is that for chronic diseases, you know, it's much more complicated, and that a single nutrient doesn't make as much sense about thinking about overall foods. And so, you know, what our study is not saying that, to go eat unhealthy foods. What the study is saying is that just knowing the grams of saturated fat in your diet or just knowing the grams of saturated fat in a food doesn't actually give you very much information about whether it's healthy or not. There's other things that are more important about whether a food is healthy or not.
We'll look at some of those. This is meta-analysis of lots of research that you've done here. I'm sympathizing with people listening very closely and trying to figure out exactly what you're saying. Is saturated fat a danger in terms of cardiac disease?
So I think as I said, I think saturated fat overall is actually a little bit of a distraction, because you can eat something that has a little bit of saturated fat, like an avocado or a healthy vegetable oil or nuts. They're actually very good for you. You can eat other things that have some saturated fat, like milk. That's probably pretty neutral for heart disease. And then you can eat something that doesn't have very much saturated fat, like a low-fat, turkey, deli turkey sandwich, or a fat-free, bagel, or sugars or sugar-sweet beverages that are actually very harmful for heart disease. So I think that, you know, we have to look at the overall diet. And I think what we've learned is that, you know, healthier diets with minimally processed foods that have, fruits and vegetables and nuts and fish and whole grains and vegetable oils are very healthy. And many of the processed foods with especially foods with refined grains and starches and added sugars and trans fats are quite harmful. And so in that mix of those extremes of the diet, you know, the Western diet being sort of the highly processed foods, the saturated fat content per se actually doesn't provide much additional meaning to disease. So I think, you know, people need to move away from looking at the food label and looking at the grams of saturated fat at all to try to make a decision about food intake and think instead about the quality of the actual food that they're eating.
How do you square your findings with – I'm reading a letter to the editor here from Alice Lichtenstein, who's big in the American College of Cardiology, American Heart Association. She wrote into the New York Times over the weekend, and she said that they released a big study, extensive review, last fall from the American College of Cardiology and the American Heart Association, finding strong evidence for a link between saturated fat, butter, cheese, fatty meat, and heart disease. That would seem to, directly contradict your findings.
Well, I think that, you know, the science is evolving, and, you know, I think that science is not perfect. And this is one study, and it has to be looked at in the context of all of the other studies. If you look at the relationships of various foods to heart disease, you know, processed meats, especially ones that are high in sodium, are certainly linked positively to heart disease risk. As I said, milk and cheese and yogurt actually seem to be pretty neutral, and those are actually the major sources of saturated
fat. But that's not what they found. She named cheese and butter right here, black and white, and you're saying it's fine. What on earth is a normal person supposed to do with these conflicting findings?
Well, I think, you know, that's something that the scientists and policymakers and communicators need to get together and have a consistent and coherent message. And I know, you know, Dr. Lichtenstein well. She's a good friend, and you know, I'm not sure the evidence that she's referring to for her letter, but I think that is really important to get together and have consistent evidence. The reason saturated fat has been focused on, I mean, to be clear, the reason saturated fat has been focused on is that it raises LDL cholesterol, which is the harmful cholesterol. It raises the concentrations of those cholesterol number in the blood. But saturated fat also has other effects. It raises HDL cholesterol, which is the good cholesterol. It lowers triglycerides, which is a marker for another form of bad cholesterol. And this is all in comparison to carbohydrate, you know, which is usually what people replace when they eat saturated fat. And so on average, if you put all of that together, it's actually a pretty neutral effect. Now there are healthier choices than eating meats or cheese. You know, people could eat fruits or vegetables or other things. There are also unhealthier choices. There's worse choices. And so in some ways, starchy foods and added sugars are worse choices. So I think, you know, it's hard to say what the effect of a single nutrient for chronic disease is, because you have to say, well, what are we comparing it to? What are you eating instead? What's the rest of your diet look like? And so I think this is why, you know, you can have a little bit of a controversy and confusion. But I don't think anybody disagrees, including Dr. Lichtenstein and myself, that what we really need to be promoting is for people to be eating overall healthy dietary patterns that have kind of minimally processed foods, sort of looks like the Mediterranean diet or what the American Heart Association calls the DASH diet.
She writes, returning to butter and fatty cuts of meat may likewise return us to the high rates of heart disease we had decades ago. Dr. Darish Mozafarian, please stand by in Boston. And we're going to Houston right now. Joining us from Texas is cardiologist Dr. Stephanie Coulter, director of the Texas Heart Institute Center for Women's Heart and Vascular Health. Dr. Coulter, welcome to On Point. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for including me in this very important discussion.
I have listeners trying to figure out what this all means. Let me give you a little sample, and then you help us out. Here are just three of them who have written in already. Lydia says, Lydia, the secret of life is butter. I never stopped eating butter. Here's another who says, I cut out all animal products. I feel amazing. It works for me. I'm sticking with it. And then the third, Dr. Coulter, says, Patricia writes, it's hard to know what advice to believe anymore. What do you make of this latest big meta survey saying saturated fat's not so bad, Dr. Coulter?
Well, it sounds complicated, and I guess complicated things need further discussion. So let's break it down and make it as simple as possible. What do we know about heart disease? So heart disease has been the biggest epidemic of, you know, death rates in the last 40 years, mainly in westernized countries in the developing world. But important things are that we've made tremendous progress in preventing and reducing cardiovascular death in this time period. And we've done that because we know what the risk factors for heart disease are. They're the same risk factors that started, you know, in the early Framingham heart study, and they're still the same risk factors today, which is part of the controversy about the LDL cholesterol, because we do know that high LDL cholesterol in the blood confers a dramatic increased risk in cardiovascular events. Necessarily, we've looked at diets and how they've been changing, and fortunately, in the westernized world, our diets have changed in a negative way, in such that with the recommendations from the 1950s from the American Dietary Association and the American Heart Association, we reduce our fat content. And unfortunately, when we reduce our fat content in our diet, we supplement that fatty food with other foods. So in fact, if we look at the literature that Dr. Mathafarian is speaking about today, that literature is confusing to the public because, in fact, in that literature, they looked at a multitude of studies and looked at the ways that fat has been reduced in certain populations. But what they didn't look at is what those fats were replaced with. And unfortunately, when we eat less fat in our diet, we're hungry, and so we eat something else. And the American diet over the last couple of decades, although it's had less fats in its diet, we've increased our caloric consumption of carbohydrates and refined sugar.
Dr. Cotto, let me ask you quickly before the break. On the basis of this study, would you advise people to allow themselves more butter, cheese, fatty meat back into their diet or not?
Well, I'm a big fan of eat less food because people eat too much. And when they eat too much, they become diabetic. A little bit of fat in your diet is good because then you eat less food.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about a big new analysis of saturated fat in our diets that says maybe there's a place for some, maybe a little butter is back, but still a keen eye out for heart disease. The country spent years celebrating the fat-free. Here was Bill Cosby with a Jell-O pudding ad from the 1990s.
The box says fat-free, but my taste buds say it's too good to be fat-free. And I believe my taste buds. I've known them longer. Fat-free Jell-O pudding.
Dessert is back, and it's fat-free.
And some people never left the butter. Here's Paula Deen, the butter queen.
We're going to poach our lobster tails in clarified butter. I've got our clarified butter here. I'm just going to reserve one cup of butter because we're going to use it in a few minutes. Butter is a very, very beautiful thing. I'm so glad God gave us cows.
Paula Deen lays on the butter. Dr. Dariush Mazafarian joins us today from Brigham and Women's Hospital and Harvard Medical School, one of the co-authors of the big new study, Meta-Study, in the Annals of Internal Medicine, that said, hey, there's a place for saturated fat here. They don't see a link between saturated fat and heart disease. Dr. Stephanie Coulter joins us from the Texas Heart Institute Center for Women's Heart and Vascular Health, cardiologist there with a big eye on everything going on in terms of heart health. Lots of questions for the two of you. Cy Aquin, Ohio. Thanks for calling, Cy. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Many cardiologists say they have to cut through layers of white animal fat to get to the heart in operations. The vegetarian and vegan heart pump the same amount of blood for 20 beats or more or less per minute. Other problems are the homocysteine in animal protein correlated to Alzheimer's, the uric acid correlated to arthritis, the food poisoning, many, many more incidents of food poisoning with cadaver foods, the adrenaline in animal flesh from the agony the animals suffer is correlated to anger in humans who eat the hormone, which is not entirely broken down by cooking. Vegans and vegetarians get life insurance discounts from some companies, way less. And finally, Dr. Stanley Prusiner left Harvard because this discoverer of prions found that the university was too invested in the meat industry to give proper attention to research.
Cy, we've got it. Cadaver foods kind of gives us a big clue where you're coming from, but I take your point, Dariush Mazafarian. Dr. Mazafarian, what about this kind of vegan view of the world that you can hear between the lines, Cy saying, don't open this door up again, please, doctor?
Well, so, you know, 2 points. First, the analysis does not say to eat butter or to eat saturated fat. There was no evidence it was beneficial. So there are beneficial food choices that are much more beneficial than butter to eat. The second point, though, about vegetarianism, I think a really important point is that, you know, fries and a Coke are vegetarian. Most of the dietary problems in our diet are actually vegetarian. Refined sugars, all the refined carbohydrates, trans fat is vegetarian, sodium is vegetarian. So vegetarianism itself, per se, actually doesn't confer health. Now, people who eat vegetarian tend to eat healthy foods. They tend to eat very healthy diets, rich in fruits and vegetables, and if they're pesco-vegetarian, fish and other things. But just by itself, you know, excluding a category of foods doesn't guarantee you a healthy diet. Be vegetarian, have a terrible diet, and be non-vegetarian and have an excellent diet, and vice versa. So I think that, you know, the general message that we should be eating more fruits and vegetables and vegetable oils that have some saturated fat but are mostly other types of healthy fats, fish and nuts and on all those foods is great. But, you know, remember that vegetarianism per se, I think, you know, can be quite healthy or unhealthy.
Depending how you pursue it. Yeah, Dr. Right. Coulter, what do you advise if your patients say, or just anybody, your friends say, hey, can I start just buttering my toast now? I haven't buttered my toast with real butter in years. Shall I do it? What do you say, Dr. Coulter?
Well, probably a little bit of butter is okay. And the bigger picture is what Dr. Mazafarian is referring to is eating a better diet overall, because in the end, it's not the little things, the micro or little nutrients that you get, it's the big picture of what do you include. So, like, if you recommend, like, the Mediterranean diet, which is actually probably one of the most important studies in the last couple of years in cardiovascular preventative science, which showed that if you introduce a diet with 5 to 7 servings of fruit and vegetables every day, low amounts of red meat, a mild to moderate amount of alcohol, people like that, that you can reduce your risk of having a first cardiovascular event by 30%, which is actually really big. And if you think about it, if the diet is everything you eat, instead of a diet meaning what many people think today, what I cannot eat, so, in fact, you concentrate on what you should eat. If you have to eat 5 servings of fruit and vegetables a day, it makes you less able to eat all the other stuff that's not healthy because you're no longer hungry for it. So it's kind of the big picture pattern instead of should I just eat a little bit of butter. It's really about eating a healthy life.
Now, I totally understand that, but here the headlines are about saturated fat, and your response is eat vegetables. But the question the headlines are raising, I'm sure in people's minds, is, hey, does that mean it's okay if I start cooking with more butter? People like butter. They like it. You heard Paula Deen there, that feel, oh, this is luscious, this is wonderful. If your circle increased their intake of butter by, I don't know, 20% or by half as a result of these headlines, would that be all right with you, Dr. Coulter?
Well, it's not all right, and what I'm suggesting, and I think this is what Dr. Mazafarian is suggesting, is that maybe we ought to change the headline. Instead of it being all about fat, it should be about all about being healthy. So we know that, pretty clearly, we know that olive oil consumption should be increased in populations and in well-done, randomized, prospective trials. The addition of olive oil and nuts improves people's cardiovascular health. No one's saying that taking in more butter is going to be beneficial, but what I'm saying is eating something that's been proven certainly can be beneficial.
The headline I first saw was study questions fat and heart disease link. Is that fair, Dr. Mazafarian?
Well, I think that, you know, this is much more than about butter. So, you know, with Mark Bittman's column aside, you know, this is much more about butter. So I think that the food industry, you know, partially in response to the guidelines for many decades has, you know, led us to believe that low fat means healthy or low calorie or less obesogenic, and that low saturated fat means healthy. And, you know, you see commercials all the time still that parade the low grams of fat or low grams of saturated fat. And I think the key point of the study is that by itself does not define a healthy diet. You know, just picking foods that are low in saturated fat does not define a healthy diet. And similarly, you know, a food that contains a little bit of saturated fat but has many other healthful components like yogurt or small amounts of cheese, or nuts or vegetable oils that have a little bit of saturated fat. Avocados, those are not unhealthy foods because they have a little bit of saturated fat. And so I think that that's really the headline, is that a single nutrient focus. That should be the headline, and hopefully, your show will help with this, that a single nutrient focus doesn't help you pick a healthy diet. And what people should be doing is looking at the overall foods they eat. And so, a little bit of butter won't be good for you. There's worse choices, there's better choices. And so instead of having that butter, it'd be better to have a healthy vegetable oil spread that had omega-3s in it and some omega-6s in it. That would be a better choice. But on the other hand, if you're going to have the butter in the toast might be the worst part of that meal for you, because the toast is refined carbohydrates.
Right,
And so to think more holistically about the diet than just about fat. And I think that's a key message, that heart disease is not just caused by fats and fatty acids in the diet. It's caused by the whole diet. And I think that's a really important message. And the science is very clear on that we shouldn't just be thinking about fats when we think about heart disease. We should be thinking about the whole diet.
Let me get David in Williamstown, Massachusetts. David, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
My history with this goes back probably about 15 years. I'll be as succinct as I can here. And I was trying to go vegan, and around that same time, I had some pretty severe skin problems, some cracking my hands and my lips, especially in the wintertime. And somewhere along the line, somebody suggested that I needed more saturated fat. And so I added back in. The vegan thing never worked out for me. I'm 52 right now, and for the past 15 years or so, in the winter, I have as much butter as I want. Dr. Coulter's liable to have a heart attack, but I also drink raw milk. I tend to stay very much away, though, from processed foods, from sugars. I have places where I can get...
So how much butter did you say you eat, David? Sorry?
I have probably, at least, I don't worry about it. It could be a pound of butter a week, and I slather it on my toast. I read 3 books over the last 15 years that just made me say, you know what, whatever the news is, whatever my cholesterol counts are, I don't worry about it. I read the Cholesterol Myths book.
David, let me take it to Dr. Coulter right here. Appreciate Dr. Coulter, a pound of butter a week. What do you say, Madam Cardiologist?
Well, that's funny, because it really has to do with the patient's individual risk. And as I said before, that cardiovascular disease is preventable. It's preventable by controlling a whole milieu of cardiac risk factors. So it has to do with what your weight, how much activity you get, what your blood pressure, what your family history is, whether or not you smoke. So in fact, if you accumulate risk factors, then probably more fat consumption or a higher level of fat in your blood will increase the risk in certain populations, but maybe not in certain young individuals, because in fact the most important risk factor for heart disease is really age. So as we age, our risk catch up with us, because it's actually kind of hard to get heart disease. You have to work it. It takes 10 to 20 years.
A lot of Americans have succeeded, I must say. Dr. Stephanie Coulter in Houston at the Texas Heart Institute Center for Women's Heart and Vascular Health. It's been great to have you with us. We appreciate your time. Thank you so much, Dr. Coulter.
Thank you for including me.
And Dr. Darius Mozafarian, co-author of the study that's been turning so many heads in the last couple of weeks here. Dr. Mozafarian, thank you for joining us from Brigham and Women's and Harvard Medical School.
Thanks for covering this important topic.
Do people like butter? Well, a lot really do. 2009 movie Julie and Julia. Amy Adams plays Julie Powell, cooking her way through Julia Child's Mastering the Art of French Cooking. Here she is discussing her love of butter.
Is there anything better than butter? Think it over. Every time you taste something that's delicious beyond imagining, and you say, what is in this? The answer is always going to be butter. The day there's a meteorite heading toward the Earth, and we have 30 days to live, I am going to spend it eating butter. Here's my final word on the subject. You can never have too much butter.
From Julie and Julia. Well, open the door to this with headlines, and people, their taste buds may send them running right in. One of those who's out with the headline, butter is back, the great food writer for the New York Times, Mark Bittman. He joins us now from New York. Mark Bittman, welcome back to On Point.
Nice to be here again, Tom. How you doing?
Well, very well. You read these latest headlines in the study along with everybody else, and what do you take away from it, sir?
It's not as simple as people would like it to be. I guess that's what I take away from it. You can't just demonize saturated fat and say if you stay away from saturated fat, you'll be healthy, and you can't just eat whatever you want either. I mean, I do think that the message of last week was oversimplified. Certainly my headline didn't help, so that's...
Butter is back.
Butter is back, yeah. But, you know, but the fact is, and it's funny that you raised Julia Child, because Julia used to always say, well, they say that we are allowed to eat 2 tablespoons of butter a day, and I intend to enjoy my 2 tablespoons of butter a day. And, you know, it is all about balance, and it's all about moderation, and there are known risk factors, and saturated fat still appears to be among them, but it doesn't mean that some saturated fat in your diet isn't a good thing. So when people talk about going vegan, for example, as if this were a cure for everything, it's not. It's really about eating a moderate diet. For most Americans, it's about eating a diet that's higher in fruits and vegetables than the one that we're normally eating. And but that doesn't mean it's only about eating fruits and vegetables. So you know, people want things to be summed up in 3 words, and it's not quite that simple.
The last time you and I talked, you were talking about vegan till 6, your eating style then and maybe now. Are you, with these findings, letting a little more saturated fat into your world, your diet, Mark Bittman?
Nothing's changed for me since the last time we talked, but we're not going to assume that everyone who's listening now was there the last time we talked.
Yeah.
So, you know, vegan before 6, which is what I do, and it is basically eating unprocessed plants until dinner time and then doing whatever I want, is a strategy for increasing the amounts of plants in our diets, which, as I said before, is something that most of us, almost everyone in the United States, needs to do. Almost no one gets the recommended 5 servings of fruits and vegetables a day, and that's probably less than what would be ideal. But if you go towards a diet that is heavier in plants and unprocessed plants, you're making a huge stride away from the American diet, and it's not just non-animal foods. It's non-processed foods. And there's so much in our diet that contains hidden ingredients, contains foods that are processed past the point where you'd consider them foods, contain things that are frankly quite mysterious and wouldn't be recognized as food by anyone who lived 100 years ago. We have to steer clear of that stuff. And if you said to me, and you might, but if you said to me, what's worse, butter or hyper-processed foods, I would say hyper-processed foods. That doesn't mean that you should go eat butter like the guy who was on 5 minutes ago saying he eats 1 pound a week. I wouldn't suggest that regimen for anyone, although perhaps for him it's fine. But the point is that there is a spectrum of what our diets ought to look like, and there is a spectrum of how so-called healthy or unhealthy various foods are. And the closer we are in general, the closer we are to traditional foods and traditional diets, the healthier our diets are going to be.
Do you think we went overboard in banishing saturated fats, Mark?
Totally. Yeah, totally. Well, I mean, and also the problem is, what if you're going to eat less saturated fat, what are you going to eat instead? And you can't say eat less saturated fat without specifying what you're going to eat instead. Because what happened to us in the 70s, 80s, and 90s and continues to happen is people substituted highly processed carbohydrates, including a lot of sugar, for saturated fat. And that is not a beneficial substitution.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about saturated fats. A big new meta-analysis of 70-plus studies say the connection with heart disease may be less than we thought. But and you've got people like my guest Mark Bittman with a column out, headline is Butter is Back. Others saying, and Mark Bittman himself saying, hey, balance, watch out here. For so many years, it was fat-free, fat-free. Here's an ad for Snackwell cookies from 1993.
Excuse me. Do you make these delicious fat-free Snackwell double scoop cookies?
Why, yes, I do.
Want to tell us why we can't find them in the stores anymore?
Well, what is this?
You got some explaining to do, Cookie Man.
Yeah.
They're a little more popular than we expected.
Ooh, yeah. These guys quick.
But we're making more as fast as we can.
Oh, you're breaking my heart.
Hey, I just make the cookies. You want the big boys upstairs.
The makers of fat-free Snackwell's Devil's Food cookies apologize for the short supply.
Well, they weren't really sorry, though, Mark Bittman. They were pumping out the fat-free just as fast as they could. And where did that get us?
It got us at the highest rate of weight gain in history is where it got us. And, you know, it's funny how Snackwells are emblematic because you and I are both old enough to remember how excited people were about the fact that they could be eating these low-fat cookies.
They're delicious, and there's no fat in there. Yeah,
right. It was such a big deal. They were so good, and they were low-fat or no-fat, and they were calorie bombs. And they are, of course, emblematic. The problem was not just Snackwells, but beginning in the 70s and 80s, this country saw the biggest weight gain in the history of the world. And this was the result of saying not only eat low fat, eat less saturated fat, but of not specifying what to eat instead. And had we gone and said, eat less saturated fat, eat fewer processed carbohydrates, eat more fruit and vegetables, we might not be in the position we're in now, which, you know, we don't need to go into statistics, but everybody knows. We weigh more. We have way more diabetes than we ever did. Heart disease rates are not going down. This is really, you know, we have a healthcare crisis, and it's largely based on diet.
Mark Bittman is with us. His books, Food Matters, Vegan Before 6 p.m. Mark, a caller's for you, Matt in Middleton, Wisconsin. Matt, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hello, Tom and Mark. I think when we're talking about saturated fats and food in general, what we're missing is that we read the label and we see butter, or we see go to Culver's or McDonald's or any fast food joint and we have a burger. We see beef, but it's sort of a nebulous term like bread. There's a new study out of Europe that shows that people who consume grass-fed butter, cows that eat grass, the butter that is produced from their milk and cream is much higher in linoleic acid, omega-3s, and they actually find that people lose weight when they swap sugars for these high-quality saturated fats. So I think when we start looking at what we're putting into our bodies, even if it's not vegetables, if we're going to consume meats and saturated fats, picking high-quality products that are produced naturally instead of highly refined in most places. So that's my main comment.
Yeah, Matt, let me take it to Mark Bittman. Mark, this is one of your big themes, environmentally and in terms of human health.
Well, there are a lot of discussions about the quality of fats, linoleic 3 versus 6, and omega-3s versus omega-6s, and there will be continued research on this stuff. It does seem to be that the trend is to find that higher quality and better raised animal products are less damaging, but the point is that we eat too many animal products, and we can only do that because we raise animals in such an incredibly horrific, efficient manner. And if we were to think about not only our personal health, but the health of the animals that we're raising and our environmental health, we could look at those things as a trio and say what's best for us, what's best for the environment, what's best for animals, and we would wind up eating higher quality meat and less meat, and that is the key, I think.
Mark,
I think it's true. When you talk about what you're substituting, what you're eating instead of what you're trying to eliminate, that's a very, you know, it's a very important question.
You pay a lot of attention to how people eat, what people eat. Do you think if people work a little more saturated fat into their diet, they'll really eat less of other things, or are they just going to layer fat on top of what's there already?
I would not encourage people to eat more saturated fat in their diets. I think we're eating plenty of saturated fat. What I draw from this study is that you don't need to be demonizing saturated fat and fearing saturated fat, because that is not the main problem with our diets. You know, someone said to me yesterday, there's plenty of room in the world for there to be more than one problem with the way we eat. And in fact, we do, as a nation, eat too much saturated fat, and we eat too much of other kinds of fats also. But that is not the only problem with our diets. And if we were to eliminate saturated fat entirely, and this goes back to your Snackwell's point, mm-hmm. that doesn't mean we're going to be eating well. What are you eating instead?
Look at the hole. Butter is Back is the headline on Mark Bittman's latest column. He joins us today from New York, columnist at the New York Times. Always great to talk to you, Mark. Thank you very much for being here today.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Let's go to Hamden, Connecticut, and Dr. David Katz, founding director of Yale University's Prevention Research Center, editor-in-chief of the journal Childhood Obesity, specialties in preventative medicine, public health, internal medicine, co-author of Disease Proof, The Remarkable Truth About What Makes Us Well. Dr. David Katz, welcome back to On Point.
Thanks so much, Tom. Good to be with you.
Mark Bittman always has a lot to say. The headline was Butter is Back. What do you make of the headline, sir?
Well, you know, the interesting thing, Tom, and I enjoyed listening to Mark just now, if his column in the New York Times had said what he just said, I would have appended amen, frankly. And in listening to him now, what it sounded like he was citing, you know, a sort of chapter and verse from the column I wrote about his column.
This is in the Huffington Post, where yeah. you were not so crazy about the Butter
yeah.
is Back theme.
Well, because it's clearly wrong. But what he said just now, you know, it matters what we eat instead. We eat too much saturated fat. We shouldn't be adding animal products like butter back to our diet. I agree with all of that. So, you know, my real issue isn't with what he just said. What he just said was beautiful. Again, amen. The problem is the column was in the New York Times. There are a lot of people who simply like butter. They like the taste. They like cooking with it.
Sure.
And, you know, frankly, are looking for someone with authority to tell them, we were wrong, it's not bad for you, have as much as you want. And that's how his column was interpreted. And that's wrong. And it's wrong at so many levels. Let me provide perhaps the most specific reason that it's wrong. This study, and I know you had Dari Mozafarian on mm-hmm. Earlier, and I suspect he went into some of this. I didn't hear his comments. But this study was not about butter, and it wasn't even really about food. It was about fatty acids, and it looked at variation in fatty acid intake in the diet and variation in fatty acid levels in the blood. So, there was nothing about butter in the study to begin with. The only possible way to apply this study to butter is to say, well, let's look at what fatty acids are in butter. Let's look at the results regarding fatty acids in the study and see how they compare. Well, here's the result of that, and I'm sure that Mark didn't do that, and as a non-nutrition expert, you wouldn't expect him to, but I did, and I suspect my nutrition colleagues did. The most abundant fatty acid in butter of all is one called palmitic acid. It's a 16-carbon saturated fat. Of 17 fatty acids in the meta-analysis, that one was associated with the third greatest increase in the rate of heart disease. And stearic acid, an 18-carbon saturated fat, also abundant in butter, was associated with the single greatest increase in heart disease. So if you take the results of the meta-analysis and apply it directly to butter, the only possible conclusion is actually it looks like butter is bad for the heart, and we should continue to avoid it. Now, that says nothing about the effects of butter on your recipes or on your taste buds, and for that I'm happy to defer to Mark. But it's a complete miscarriage of the public health agenda to suggest that there is a benefit from adding butter back. And that's what I opined about in my column,
yeah.
Because my job is to defend the public health. And at least Mark's headline and the first paragraph of his column in the Times went the wrong way. His comments just now went the right way, but his column did not.
I should say, also from the Harvard School of Public Health, Dr. Frank Hu said here that these findings should not be taken as a green light to eat more steak, butter, and other foods rich in saturated fat. Could you just very simply lay out for us, David Katz? I mean, maybe you're off in some dietary paradise where it's just olive oil and green beans. But for people who, let's say, that at breakfast, they're going to butter some toast, or quote-unquote, what do you recommend? If it's butter or margarine or one of these omega-3 spreads, Benecol, all that stuff, what do you recommend?
Well, let me circle back to that. Just that. First of all, Frank, who is a great guy, great epidemiologist, and a good friend, and you know the team at Harvard really is excellent. I think we all agree, Tom, that the focus needs to be on the big picture. If I may, I had a study come out last week in the Annual Review of Public Health called "Can We Say What Diet Is Best for Health?" And my job was to review the literature and reach an impartial conclusion. And, you know, we can look at this study and say, gee, variation in saturated fat intake in our culture, no variation in heart disease rates. Well, that's because, as Mr. Bittman said today, but not in his column, you know, essentially we cut saturated fat and added sugar, you know, as a lateral move at best. I mean, we basically are committed in our culture to exploring every way of eating badly. And so, no, our health doesn't improve when we swap out one way of eating badly for another. But let's look at the bigger picture. And it's not the promised land, you know, where you know, food is intrinsically more virtuous. It's just cultures that are oriented a little differently than ours and don't eat food that glows in the dark. And if you look at the blue zones, the places around the world where people live the longest and have the best health, they eat real food, mostly plants. Now, you know, and Michael Pollan, of course, gets the credit for putting it that way, eat food, not too much, mostly plants. That's what they do, and that's the conclusion I reached in this review article, looking at hundreds of studies from all around the world, not just one paper.
Doggone it. I'm trying to figure out if it should be butter or margarine or Benecol.
I understand, right. So your specific question. So I would say this.
Maybe they're all wrong. I mean, I read you here. You say your favorite is extra virgin Kalamata olive oil on fresh whole grain bread. That's great, but if someone's going to go more traditional, what should it be?
Right. So back to your specific question. In the context of eating well overall, and I think this is what Mark meant to say, you know, having a little butter, you know, is not a crime against humanity or your arteries.
Is it better or worse than margarine?
If that's what you want. Well, it depends on the margarine. You know, tub margarine made with omega-3 is probably beneficial. Some of the margarines designed, like Benecol with plant sterols, actually do lower cholesterol. So you could take margarine as medicine. Stick margarine has trans fat, and that's distinctly harmful. I'd say if you're inclined to have a little bit of butter for the pleasure of it, that's fine in the context of a healthy diet. Do not go out of your way to add butter for health benefits. If you're looking for an oil source that is associated with health benefits, that would, in fact, be the olive oil. And so in the morning, if I'm having bread, which, by the way, I usually don't, that's the other issue. You know, toast is not necessarily the best breakfast in the first place. Have a bowl of whole grain oats and put in some berries.
Even if it's whole grain toast, you're still not down with that?
Well, all right, better. Definitely better.
Okay.
I'm a fan of whole grains. Okay, yep. That's fine. But, you know, you probably do better still with a whole grain cereal, yep. Higher in fiber and nutrients and such. Add fruit and nuts, and you're really off to the races. But, yeah, if you're inclined, Tom, to have a little bit of butter on your toast for the pleasure of it, have it for the pleasure of it. If you're inclined to use a bit of butter in your cooking, again, you know, for the pleasure of it, do that. But preferentially, the oils associated with better health are, in fact, the monounsaturated oils that predominate in the Mediterranean diet, olive oil, the oils found in nuts and seeds and avocado, and the omega-3s, which are found in particular in nuts like walnuts, and then fish and seafood. And those are associated with actual health benefits, whereas butter is not. Butter's a lateral move in terms of health.
Okay, we're talking saturated fat in the American diet. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Let's go to Sasha in Columbus Junction, Iowa. Sasha, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I guess my kind of point in this conversation, as I've been listening to all the different people commenting, mm-hmm. I live on a farm in Iowa. We're mm-hmm. a farming family. My great-grandma, who's almost 90, lives with us,
mm-hmm.
and she is extremely healthy. She's been working in the fields her whole life. The woman eats what she wants. She's not big on, you know, processed food. It's been generally out of our garden, chickens we raise, farm-fresh milk, and that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
I have three children that I'm raising on this same ideology, you know, fresh vegetables, whole grains, but we have bacon, we have butter, and it's not really held back from them. They can have it as much as they want. And this seems to be working for my family. We don't have any obesity in our family, no heart problems. But that being said, does that necessarily apply to everyone? Someone that's my same age, my neighbor per se, that's overweight, should they subscribe to that? I mean, wouldn't that simplify things for people trying to figure out what is best for them to actually look at what their predisposition is for heart problems and where they should go with the fat issue?
Sasha, our time is short. David Katz, what do you make of the profile Sasha's describing there of her family and her question about personalization?
Yeah, so there is a role for that, certainly, based in particular on preference. I would make the point, Tom, that we're all more alike than different in terms of what's healthy for us, and the studies that show what diets produce the best health outcomes are remarkably consistent all around the world and across cultures. You know, again, I and Mark, I think, made these comments well earlier. We agree the biggest problem with our diet is we eat foods that glow in the dark. You know, if you're talking about foods direct from nature, lots of plant foods, and I think most people who grew up on farms ate that way, well, then they avoided most of the real problems with the modern American diet, where it's, you know, it's fast food and hyper-processed food and all the wrong oils and too much added starch and too much added sugar. So they avoided all of that. That's good. And then within that context, yeah, I think some people are more vulnerable to the effects of saturated fat or cholesterol, some people less so. But a diet of eating foods direct from nature, being physically active, tends to be associated with good health outcomes. That's really the prize here. More years in life, more life in years. And the evidence from around the world is we could do a lot better. One of the big problems, Tom, with a study like this, it's making comparisons within our culture. But if we compare our culture to other cultures, we're doing very badly in general. You know, we live in a culture where it's basically a midlife rite of passage to have your chest opened up and your coronary arteries rerouted. That doesn't need to happen. 80% of all heart disease could be avoided if we ate optimally, exercised routinely, didn't smoke, and took care of a couple of other things on a short priority list. So, you know, we really need to look outside our culture to see the big picture of what health could be. And, you know, butter doesn't figure prominently in it for anybody. Again, you know, I think some for the pleasure of it is fine. But we really do have incredibly good evidence of what the basic dietary pattern for optimal health is. And it's just not what we're eating here in the United States.
So don't think reaching for that fat-free packet on the supermarket shelf is going to be a miracle.
No.
Butter, are you sorry this study came out that ends up with a butter is back headline?
Well, I'm sorry about the headline, not the study. And frankly, I'm not at all sorry about Mark's comments on air this morning. I'm sorry about the headline, and I bet Mark is as well, because that was really the most misleading part of the whole thing.
Dr. David Katz, joining us from Yale. Great to have you with us. Thank you very much for your thoughts and observations today, Dr. Katz.
Thank you, Tom. My pleasure.
Listeners, thanks for all your comments. We're all trying to figure it out. Great to have you today. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.